Hello, Internet. It's the last Saturday of the month and time for me to do a concert in my living room for you. I'll start out with this song just to get going. My name is John Riley. I'll have your ear only a while. I left my dear home in Ireland. It was death, starvation, or exile. When I got to America, it was my duty to go. Enter the army and slog across Texas to join in the war against Mexico. And it was there in the pueblos and hillsides that I saw the mistake I had made. Part of a conquering army with the morals of a bayonet blade. And there amidst all these poor dying Catholics, screaming children, the burning stench of it all, myself and 200 Irishmen decided to rise to the call. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. We marched neath the green flag of St. Patrick, emblazoned with Erin Goldbra, bright with the harp and the shamrock and Libertad para la República. Just 50 years after Wolf Tone, 5,000 miles away, the Yanks called us a legion of strangers, and they can talk as they may. But from Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. Five major battles. Churubusco was the last. Overwhelmed by the cannons from Boston, we fell after each mortar blast. Most of us died on that hillside in the service of the Mexican state. So far from our occupied homeland, we were heroes and victims of fate. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. One of the nice things about not touring is I never get tired of singing that song because I used to sing it just about every night, you know. And somebody says, your outdoor protest show was amazing last night. Very inspiring work. It was so fun. It was so fun playing downtown in front of Ted Wheeler's condo for him and his neighbors. And it was a really wonderful event. I mean, it was we took over the streets. It was a reclaim the streets kind of action, and people locked down in the lobby of his condo, and it was very good. And there was live music, which was my favorite part about it. Great hip hop, great punk rock. And performers in wonderful outfits. I just thought I'd start with that song that I wrote 20 years ago. And here's a song I wrote just a couple days ago. Kenosha, Wisconsin is another city on the lake. The abundance of the trout in the water was its namesake. Once upon a time, cars were made in factories. Now the lakefront is a park. The main attraction is the ease of being between Milwaukee and Chicago. In the city of Kenosha lives a man named Jacob Blake, due east of Minnesota, from the river to the lake. 7 bullets from the cops just for trying to drive away. If you're black, that's what happens if you dare to disobey. In between Milwaukee and Chicago, the city of Kenosha erupted right on cue. Police station torched. Folks did what they had to do to have a chance of being heard after all these centuries of festering wounds that keep opening up, of necks and knees in between Milwaukee and Chicago. To Kenosha, Wisconsin, folks came from all around to show their outrage at this freshly bloodied ground, while others came as vigilantes, pretending to be cops. And by the time the third night was over, 2 more beating hearts had stopped in between Milwaukee and Chicago. In the city of Kenosha, there in the county seat, police thanking vigilantes for bringing weapons to the streets, while other vigilantes, or at least wannabes, are speaking to the nation at the convention on TV in between Milwaukee and Chicago. In Kenosha, Wisconsin, the dead and wounded everywhere, an active shooter shooting, not a moment to spare. People tried to intervene. Someone clocked him in the head. The shooter fired back. Anthony Hooper was among the dead. In between Milwaukee and Chicago. From the city of Kenosha to the shores of Silver Lake, in the skate parks they'll be talking of the choices people make. Of those who stand with fascists and uphold apartheid laws. Of those who try to stop the killing, end up dying for the cause. In between Milwaukee and Chicago. In between Milwaukee and Chicago. We have folks washing from Chiapas, Mexico, and Australia. In Australia, it's early in the morning. And this is kind of a... Now, what am I doing here? My lyrics are all outsourced to a device, along with much of my brain. But I wrote another song actually the day before I wrote that song. Jacob Blake was walking to his SUV. Alton Sterling was selling DVDs. Eric Garner had just broken up a fight. Breonna Taylor was asleep in the middle of the night. Tamir Rice was playing in the park. Elijah McClain was out walking after dark. Dominique Clayton was sleeping in her bed, where she was shot by a cop in the back of her head. Say their names. Say their names. Say their names. say their names. Walter Scott was driving to a store. Betty Jones was answering her door. Philando Castile was driving home with his girlfriend. Anthony Hill was naked on the grass when he met his end. Etzel Ford was walking in his neighborhood. Michael Brown was blown away just standing where he stood. Kendra James was shot to death at a traffic stop by yet another unaccountable killer cop. Say their names. Say their names. Say their names. Say their names. Atiana Jefferson was playing a video game with her little nephew, gunned down just the same. Oscar Grant was celebrating the new year, handcuffed when the shots rang out that everyone could hear. Eric Reason pulled into a parking spot. Not long after that was when he was shot. George Floyd was just shopping in a store. Micah Xavier Johnson thought that he was still at war. Say their names. Say their names. Say their names. Say their names. Could keep going with that chorus with lots of names. Well, it's lovely to see you all remotely somehow. I mean, I see the number. It's like more and more like being in the Matrix. You know, you see this number in the corner. You know, that there's lots of people watching out there somewhere in the world. And you know that where some of them are because they've even said where they are. And it's all very nice. And I'm doing a concert from my living room on the last Saturday of every month. That's kind of the new tradition that I've created here in the absence of touring. I don't know when touring might happen again, but it was so fun doing that gig downtown last night and in front of the mayor's condo. There's a little footage on Twitter, too, if you look at my Twitter feed. We'll change tunings here. Just for variety. I should really have cut my fingernails, but I probably don't really need to. Oh, and there's a poster that Kalindi Jackson just recently made to go along with that last song. Which is a fantastic poster. You can find that various places on patreon.com/DavidRovics. You'll find it as a recent post. Or if you see the poster somewhere, there's a QR code. Let's see here. I'm just looking at my songs here in alphabetical order. There's the prospect here of... at some point, somehow or other, in the next, over the course of the next weeks and months, doing a recording project with a wonderful hip-hop artist here in Portland named Mike Crenshaw that some folks have offered to help sort of subsidize. But then I have to think about, like, what are we going to do? You know, what song? I mean, we can work songs of mine out for this project and make other songs, new songs and different things, but... So then I'm going through my catalog a lot and thinking about what to do about that. And then I was also thinking of doing another recording project, but I don't have any money for that. I'm spending all my money on posters related to eviction defense and other things. So that's why all those little accounts are down there on the bottom of the screen. If anybody wants to donate to PayPal or Venmo or whatever, I'll get more posters and stickers and deface lots of public property all over Portland and hopefully organize eviction defense that will be so successful that it'll spread around the country and you know, everything will change. Well, that's a good idea. I'll do that song. Everything can change. That seems... appropriate since I just said that. Feels like the right thing to do. First, you have to have a problem. That part isn't hard. Second step is everybody realizing they're like you. They're holding the same card. Step three is finding there's a tactic when everyone believes it could be true. That if all the people work collectively, there just might be something we can do. And everything can change. So quick. Congressmen and businessmen and TV sets will try hard to make sure it isn't so you don't have a problem. And if you do, it's not the same problem. And if it is, there's just nowhere you can go. But it's happened many times. The history is rich, though we easily forget how a meme can take hold and grab you, how it can spread out like a net, and everything can change. So quick. Say we're lost or we're dreaming, or they'll make a dream for us. They'll try to come up with a good story about why we belong at the back of the bus, about why we belong in this position, about how we don't know what we meant, about how there most certainly isn't any such thing as the 99%, but everything can change so quick. Everything can change so quick. At the protest last night, there were folks I knew from 20 years ago from global justice protests, and other folks I recognized from Occupy Wall Street protests, and they were just all out on the street, all kinds of new folks, teenagers, all kinds of teenagers with the Youth Liberation Front, who all know the chorus to Burn It Down. And I need to do a song about their wonderful effort to occupy the Fraternal Order of the Police. I was saying last night at the protest, nobody would need to be burning down police stations if the police would just abandon the police stations. You know, people would change the tactic, I guarantee. And we'd start squatting the police stations and then do something useful in those buildings. You know, they're big buildings, lots of rooms. And, you know, we could do all kinds of things in those buildings, like turn them into housing. We could add more floors. We could put a garden in the backyard, all kinds of stuff. But, there are frequent efforts to, you know, protests up North Portland, where there's a particular police station. But, you know, so far people just get repelled, basically, before, you know, it can turn into a community center. But that's certainly the idea. And, you know, they're talking about, Ted Wheeler is always, the mayor, talking about the protests, you know, wrapping up or whatever. Fizzling out, but you know, they will eventually, especially if they just hurry up and abandon all the police stations. We don't need them. There's a lot of other ways to deal with any kind of problems that come up, but that's not what the cops are there for. When I heard the news, I wasn't there at that protest in North Portland the first time they got in. But it was a wonderful effort involving dumpsters, barricades, and, you know, all the right things. Just didn't, you know. Problem is, as Sartre said, the problem with football, the football is made infinitely more complex by the existence of the opposing team. And that's especially true if the opposing team are riot cops. I was at home with the kids when I woke up at 5 a.m. looked at the news in time to hear the pundits condemn the actions of the arsonists who expressed so many desires when they made a barricade, set the FOP on fire. It happened in North Portland on the 51st consecutive night. Demonstrations in this city, in this epic fight between those who defend the inequities of the empire and those with a vision for the future that starts with the FOP on fire. Between those who like to fumigate Portland's lovely streets, who prefer to use chemical weapons when they're not wearing those white sheets, or the ones who do Nazi cosplay like some of the cops they hired just up until the night they set the FOP on fire. The cops drive from the suburbs. Each day they come down to defend interests of the rich, such as the mayor of this town. And Mayor Ted loves his tear gas, though he might say I'm a liar. But not the folks who last night set the FOP on fire. Let's remember Aaron Campbell. Let's remember Kendra James. Let's remember Alonzo Tucker, say their names. And let's remember the many killers in this progressive shire as the smoke rose up behind them with the FOP on fire. For the Youth Liberation Front folks who requested that I sing that song last night, but then on a secret encrypted message. I love encrypted messages. I more and more love encrypted messages. And apparently the first encrypted message I ever got, that I know of, and I signed on to Signal. All the cool folks are on Signal, as you know. But, watching with Lee Brickley. Hi, Lee Brickley. Wonderful. Speak of the devil. I was just going to do a song that is very related to Lee Brickley, who has written other songs of his own on this very subject. Really good ones. But last night, I ran into, sometimes everybody's wearing masks, so you, which is normally true of a lot of my friends, actually. Even when there's not a pandemic. And, but somebody mentioned that one of the most intelligent young people I've met. Has gone off across the ocean. So this is a song for him. Listen to me, friends, from New York to California. Consider for a moment Sulamania, the last city volunteers would often see before they hiked over the mountains and joined the war for the freedom of the people of Rojava. The enclave defended by RPGs and guns, wielded by Rojava's daughters and sons, along with scores of those who've come from far and near, learned to fire mortars so they could fight right here for the freedom of the people of Rojava. What makes a person go from Occupy Wall Street to marching through the desert with blisters on their feet to risk life and liberty to face Islamic State, knowing that martyrdom would likely be their fate for the freedom of the people of Rojava? Something worth defending isn't hard to find, but not many will go off and leave their homes behind. To go train on the mountain with a YPG, to go join somebody's struggle out of solidarity. For the freedom of the people of Rojava. The blood of many folk has been spilled along the way, including several radicals from the USA. So remember Robert Grote and Michael Israel, Paolo Todd, Jordan McTaggart, how they lived and how they fell. For the freedom of the people of Rojava. For the freedom of the people of Rojava. For the freedom of the people of Rojava. We still have to work on the, sporting event simulate, and all the sporting events, they're piping in audience applause. I don't know. No, we don't need that. Pedro Silva, is there a record of this song? Rojava. Yes, it's on. It's called Rojava, and it is on the album called Punk Baroque. I'm going on memory. Is that true? Is it on Punk Baroque? I think so. But if you just look up David Rovick's Rojava, it'll come up. Useful things about having an unusual last name. It's not hard to find anything you're looking for if you put my name and anything else you're looking for. Which I've discovered doing interviews. I do interviews. I'm cutting down to just Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific every Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesdays is Fifth Estate Live. And I've discovered... What have I discovered? What was I just talking about? Let's see. It's a good thing about having your lyrics in front of you. You don't have to remember words, and if you can remember the music, that helps. But good thing I'm not giving a lecture. Now, what was I thinking about when I'm giving? Oh, brain fart. Right, live on the internet. Names. Is that it? Kamala's trying to help, but. Funny, some of you are watching on different platforms, but you actually know each other. Ah, there's Sean McNally in Belfast. So, yeah, let's see. That's possible. I have this one opened up, though. This is a song I just wrote. What? I think, was it since? No, maybe it was before the last time I did a concert on the internet. I can't remember. But going to that protest made me feel so... optimistic. Oh, it's on Ballad of a Wobbly. Rojava. The song Rojava is on Ballad of a Wobbly, not Punk Baroque. It's on Ballad of a Wobbly. Though Punk Baroque is a good album. Names from my interview. Now I can't even remember what it was. I forgot. That's pretty bad. I don't think it's early amnesia, but I can't blame it on tear gas. Could be the pot. I don't know. I wouldn't know. Aberdeen. Wonderful. Aberdeen. Gosh. I mean, just seeing somebody posting something from Aberdeen, it's the more, I get to be in the matrix and, make associations with just images or words or numbers. Aberdeen. I love Aberdeen. I love the weather in Aberdeen. I want to live in Aberdeen. I don't want to live anywhere that ever goes above 80 degrees. Oh, yeah. The last time I played, now I'm getting all these cryptic messages. I don't know how much... okay. Right. It was like the gig in Aberdeen I did last. I think there was like 20 people in the audience. It was a small crowd, but it was a nice gig. Then we had a really good gig in Glasgow just after. Like an old cloth torn and frayed, came like a clarion call to illustrate and sing. United we stand, divided we fall. A thin veneer torn by disease, shredded, the great con laid bare. Come from across the seas, now floating in the air, like a corpse that's lying exposed, that all of us now can see, all that the cadaver shows about a society. The veil of fantasy lifted gives us at least some idea how another world is possible. And I can hear her breathing now. Like the red blood that flows from the bullet, whether coated in rubber or not, like the faces you see in the helmet, reflecting the thickening plot, driven by such a villain as a thing exponential allows, says another world is possible. And I can hear her breathing now. Like the pallor on so many faces, on every end of the town, on the murals in so many places, boarded up and long ago shut down, making all the connections between the mule and the plow. Another world is possible, and I can hear him breathing now. Like the smoke rising up coast to coast, with formations that brighten the skies, like Lord Thomas Jefferson's ghost, his victims no longer disguised, as his visage falls into the river, like the skull of an old sacred cow. Another world is possible, and I can hear her breathing now. Somebody watching from the Czech Republic. Wonderful. Haven't been there in so long. And sorry about all those cobblestones. I mean, it was a beautiful city when I got there. And then it was not me who destroyed it, but I know a lot of people there were not happy about all the people coming from out of town and ripping up the city and throwing it at the police. But it was true that, you know, it wasn't our fault that they decided to host the IMF World Bank meetings there. Thinking about that a lot lately, because that last night there's so many folks from back in those days. Oh, yeah, the quote and somebody's on YouTube mentioning great song from a great quote. And the quote, of course, is Aaron Dottie Roy. And mostly, if there's a great quote in one of my courses, it's probably not me who came up with it. That's what plagiarism is for, otherwise known as the folk process. That's its official name. We don't call it plagiarism. We don't believe in that. I mean, not that anybody's accusing me of that, but just to clarify my position on these things. This is a song, and I think, I guess I wrote this last month, so I guess you might have heard it already on this I don't remember. I should review what my last concert was, but yeah, it was a great night. Which night? Last night? That's good. I love these cryptic comments. They may only be cryptic because I'm confused. But, you know, Brian Wilson, not the one from the Beach Boys, but the other one, he was born on the 4th of July, too, I think. As I walk down the streets of the city, see the desperate looks everywhere, the thin voices, the thin faces across this society, the lost and the long-distance stares. As I call the employment department, the line is once more occupied in this nation that was born on the 4th of July. As I hear of the nooses and lynchings, as I listen to the president speak, upholding foundations of enslavement and slaughter beneath a destroyed mountain peak, as he talks of restoring America while ignoring all those who have died in this nation that was born on the 4th of July. When I see the masked faces around me, across from the policemen lined up in a row, watching them once more astound me as they fire their weapons wherever we go, shooting reporters and legal observers as the curfew is once more defied in this nation that was born on the 4th of July. Hear all the voices so loudly, shouting empty the prisons, defund the police, reasoning so very soundly, occupied by this army, how could we ever know peace? As I hear of the dead from LA to New York, a catastrophe no one can deny, in this nation that was born on the 4th of July. As I survey the wreckage around me, all the boarded up windows of the stores that have closed, as I take in the scene that surrounds me, all the inequities starkly exposed that tug at the roots of this country, which began with a war that was based on a lie, when this nation was born on the 4th of July. When this nation was born on the 4th of July. Just looking at comments, but good things to throw. What's the cobblestones? But yeah, the cobblestones were beautiful, but can't argue that they aren't good things to throw. Yeah, that's the inconvenience. It was the same problem in Rostock too, in Germany, 7 years later. I mean, if a city's going to be made of cobblestones, then you know, and the police are going to be attacking people, then you know, people are going to reach for the cobblestones. I mean, it's only natural. But it is sad, kind of, because I guess nice old cobblestones are kind of hard to come by. You can't just like reconstruct a city with old cobblestones that don't get made anymore. I guess you have to then start replacing it with other stuff, like, you know, boring old modern bricks and stuff. But like that. So, did this one. What key was it? Yeah, that one. I wrote another song last week. That definitely has not been heard on this last Saturday of the month concert broadcast. And I spend much of my free time, you know, pretty much every day, I combine taking a walk around some different neighborhood in the city, either. Just I randomly drive to a neighborhood, or I walk around somewhere, you know, within walking distance, or
Or if my wife, Reiko, is playing tennis somewhere, I just tag along with her wherever she's going to play tennis, because it's conveniently like in a different part of Portland every time, you know, the tennis team folks are getting together. So I go to some neighborhood and I put up lots of posters about eviction defense, and then they get taken down, you know, many of them. Some of them don't. Some of them stay up for a long time. It's especially the case that in the United States right now, I believe, according to the last thing I read in some business press publication, that in case you didn't know, rental housing in the U.S., according to the people that classify these things, whoever they are, they classify it in different categories, category A, B, and C. And class C rental housing is, I believe, like basically the kind of apartment that we live in, which is just to say it's like, you know, kind of the cheaper kind of, you know, apartment that the sort of, you know, lower, you know, elements, the working class, whatever, you know, not a fancy place, right? And made of wood, low ceilings, lots of mold, that kind of thing. So, you know, rugs that have mold underneath them, that kind of thing. So, which is very typical, right? So the class C apartment. So of the, you know, of the people who are in rental housing, generally, it's like one out of five who didn't pay their rent last month. And that's been true of many months recently. But of those in class C apartments, it's like two thirds. So that's why, you know, they're all very worried. They should be, you know, the elite. But it's a great time to organize the rent strike and change the world. So that's why I put up these posters. But I often go to neighborhoods in East Portland, further east. Like, I'm in East Portland, but I go out to further East Portland where things, because the further east you go, the rattier everything gets, in, you know, and in terms of maintenance and, you know, fewer trees, fewer parks, more parking lots, bigger roads, fewer sidewalks, more traffic deaths, more traffic, more pedestrians hit by cars, you know, just everything decays, you know, basically. It's not like a consistent kind of city. It's like it really varies by the neighborhood. The politicians all live on the west side pretty much, where things are better and, you know, where people have more money. But I go out to the outer east where things are really poorer. And that's where I put up the posters, because I think that's where the revolution here is going to start. And there's a highway called the 205 that separates what you could call, I don't know, the sort of like, they call it, like, we're in, I guess, what they call inner southeast, like 35 blocks from downtown. And then once you get over to, like, you know, the 82nd around it, that, I guess they call that, I don't know, outer. I don't know where it's like outer and inner, but there's sort of the far outer is the 205 separates basically inner from outer southeast. You live in the city, you can explore it for years. See all there is to hear, hear all there is to hear. A decade might pass by before you'd ever deign, if you're driving down the highway, to take an exit lane that doesn't bring you to the airport or Multnomah Falls, but to the neighborhoods along the way with the rotting walls. Go on, park your car, take a walk when you arrive east of the 205. You live in the city, you might have sampled all the wine. You've been to Salt and Straw and Pock Pock, waited patiently in line. Gone to every strip club you ever heard about. Tried all of the espresso, all the porter, all the stout, without ever having reason to cross that road, beyond which so many are crushed beneath the load, where you can meet a lot of folks just trying to survive east of the 205. You live in the city and you think it's so high tech, you think it's full of hipsters with tattoos on their necks, IT experts and house flippers, cold brew connoisseurs, shopping malls, poke bowls and Segway tours. Far beyond the bridges, as the tent villages grow, as the trees decline in number, and as the stats all show, so many die so young as they just try to stay alive east of the 205.
the city and you're looking for pickup trucks. American flags and trailers full of folk down on their luck. Cheap motels and residents breathing fumes all day from all the cars speeding down the highway. You don't need to go to Texas or the Chesapeake Bay. If before you reach the suburbs, you stop along the way, you'll find a secret city if you go and take a dive east of the 205. East of the 205. East of the 205.
Now let's see. Let's see here. I can scrolling here, which is an especially annoying thing to do when if I've been hearing on BBC about Banksy's boat, and I'm very happy to hear about Banksy's boat, and we need lots more boats like that. This is a song for Banksy's boat.
I breathe the air that you do. I drink the water just like you. I eat the fruits of this land. I hold the apple in my hand. I am I feel the rain fall on my face like the rest of the human race. I hold my baby tightly when he cries. I see him when I look into his eyes. I am heat. Like you, I get blisters on my feet. When I cut myself with blood, I will perspire. When I try to climb over the wire,
I think last time when I was scrolling through stuff, I only got up to like M or something, so I was going to do other things. But oh, here's another one that's very recent today. I'm inspired to do songs about very recent things because I sang at that wonderful protest last night, and so I'm wanting to do songs that I would have sung at the protest if the sound system had sounded good enough to bother doing anything other than, you know, loud, bangy kind of songs, and if I had a, you know, longer set, because obviously you can only do so many songs when you got 20 minutes. But oh, good. I'm glad somebody found out about Banksy's boat from me. Good. It's a really nice. I mean, if you're gonna have a boat to rescue refugees, it should be covered in really wonderful artwork. You know, why the heck not? What song was that? That last one, that was called, it's either called I Am or Song for a Refugee, depending on where you might look. And I think it's on the album Punk Baroque. Is that right? I think it's on Punk Baroque. If they defunded the police, what would we do? It would be a little messy, but by the time it all is through, life would be affordable without mortgages or rent, because evictions don't go well if the folks the landlord sent did not have the power to arrest you or pitch you on the street. The slumlords of the nation might just admit defeat if they defunded the police, who'd make us sick by drenching us with tear gas or hitting us with bricks. Who'd lash out at old men and leave them there to bleed? Who would strangle people until they cannot breathe? Who would shoot us in the parking lots, hands up in the air? Who'd make the rich feel safe and make the rest of us feel scared? If they defunded the police, who'd keep us out? Who'd be there to guard the Congress and turn on the spout? Who'd be there to man the cannons to keep us from being heard when they clamor at the gates to shred the sacred words of the overseers of America who have for so long run this land? Let's just imagine for a moment, what if they accepted our demands, if they defunded the police? That's another one I wrote last month, I believe it was last month, and there was somebody from Venezuela last night. And this, and I love Banksy. Banksy also has a hotel in the West Bank in Palestine, and it's the hotel with the ugliest view in the world. It's facing the apartheid wall, and that's what you look at when you're in there. Brilliant. I love Banksy. I love the fact that nobody knows who he is. I love his art, his words, his spokesperson, his spokesperson's girlfriend. I love all of them. Chavez was elected, like every time he ran. When his socialists took power, that's when the changes began. The opposition started attacking every forward move, but reforms went ahead, the people's welfare improved. A land of such riches that had always gone to so few was reaching places ignored since 1492 in Venezuela. Poured into the streets to stop the coup back then. They got the man that they elected back into power again. The Bolivarian Revolution became famous worldwide. Soon other socialist governments swept in a red tide. Between the Cuban doctors and the Venezuelan oil, millions got medical care, millions tilled the soil of Venezuela. Began the sanctions, Obama imposed more, a slow-burning, destabilizing economic war. Following the formula of the Chicago Boys team, used in many places to make economies scream. Oil prices plummeted, foreign holdings locked, invasions being planned, negotiations blocked in Venezuela. From the Haitian Revolution to Venezuela today, from the Seminoles to Salvador Allende. Look at their ankles, you'll see the chains, imperial vampires, open veins. Those who stand up to the business elite, who cannot stand to see the workers in the driver's seat in Venezuela. In Venezuela. That's on Strangers and Friends, which Kamala sang gorgeous harmonies on. And that's easy to remember because she's watching. And we just made that album last fall. And just scrolling through these for songs that I was looking at that I thought I particularly wanted to do today, and which is mainly like stuff I've written very recently that I've kind of been neglecting and not really learning. I mean, you learn songs and then you forget them. And then you don't, you know, it's like once you write a song, you have to actually really practice it and remember it. And that's not, yeah, that's, and it's a really good thing to do for a lot of different reasons. Which I don't need to go into right now. So I think it was just somebody's signature line in their email that they had this quote. I don't remember, but I saw this quote sometime a couple months ago. Those who lack imagination cannot imagine what is lacking, which was on the walls of Paris in 68. And I thought, how true is that? Moments like these, everything is in the air. The possibilities are nowhere and everywhere. You gotta break a bone to set it. Now all yours broke. A lot of folks are saying it's time to be woke. And they're not talking about microaggressions, but the really big ones. The basic assumptions, like planets circling suns. But there are no natural laws that built your mansions or your tents. These are creations of society, just like mortgages and rent. It's a future of uncertainty. But our liberation can only be as free as our imagination. If you were born and raised to believe it's sacrosanct that whoever has a whole lot of money in the bank deserves to then live off the wealth from the houses that they own, and if they raise your rent you can move out or take out a loan, then how can you demand your human rights if you don't believe you have any, as if you deserve your plight? But if things were hard before, now the system has flatlined. Time for those basic rights to be redefined. It's a future of uncertainty, but our liberation can only be as free as our imagination. These vaunted freedoms added to the Constitution as an afterthought after Shays' Rebellion did not include the right to land or the right to eat or the right for human beings not to be dying on the street. It's moments like these, standing on the edge, that we might catch the strongest breeze to land furthest from the ledge. We can fly, you know. All you need is wings. We can house and feed each other. Together we can do anything. It's a future of uncertainty, but our liberation can only be as free as our imagination. else was I really thinking I should do? Because this is going to be basically an hour-long concert was the idea, and then I'll go play with my children. And I'm going to go to Laurelhurst Park this evening at 8 o'clock, which is when the Youth Liberation Front says they're going to be gathering there. So I will go hang around there. I like to go to the parks where they're going to be having events so that I can put out lots of posters, because I think the folks protesting around all the police questions are going to be also joining me in the eviction defense. And if people want to do that, they can go to artistsforrentcontrol.org and join Portland Emergency Eviction Response, which is the little thing that we set up. And so that we can organize quick emergency responses to evictions that are in process of happening. So the idea is like a telephone tree, like in the 80s in New York, they used telephone trees so that they could, get the word out like that. And you call one person, then that person has 10 people in mind that they're going to contact and that sort of thing. And we need to do that again, but we can do it with text messages. And people need to sign up for the notifications, though, ideally, and then have in mind 10 other people that they want to contact. So go to artistsforrentcontrol.org. And thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll do one more song, and thanks so much for listening on all the various platforms, wherever you were listening. This is all going to get turned into a podcast as well, so if you go look for This Week with David Rovics on any podcasting platform, you can find it as the latest episode in a couple hours, and you can also find it, you'll also be able to find it in video and audio form on my Patreon account and elsewhere, SoundCloud, other places. And if you want to support the arts and support my ability to keep on making lots of cardstock color copies and putting them all over town, it's actually very expensive, and I could really use some assistance in that, because I also have other expenses like rent and food and that sort of thing, although we're putting our rent in savings because we're on rent strike, but still, we're not stupid. We're, we are not just not paying rent. We're, saving that money because we actually don't want to get evicted. I think we can really turn this thing around with eviction defense. There's a lot of good history on that. I've been doing a lot of interviews with people who are very knowledgeable about these things, in case you want to listen to anything, like especially the last one with Henry Bell, who wrote a song, wrote a book about Red Clydeside and John McLean and the whole Mrs. Barber's Army and the whole rent strike, and which they got a rent freeze throughout the UK in 1919, freezing rent at 1914 level, so it just actually involved a big decrease in rent, and there's been all sorts of other activities. But I was interviewing a bunch of folks who were very much involved with the movement in the 80s around rent strikes and squatting and stuff in New York City, and that's definitely worth checking out, some of those interviews with folks like Seth Tabachman, Bill Weinberg, and Frank Morales, those three interviews. Lots of information about these whole things, these tactics. but yeah, go to artistsforrentcontrol.org, join Peer, and if you can support my efforts, then sign on to my Patreon account, and so I can make more copies of these posters and eat at the same time. And I'll close with a little public service announcement. Wear a mask, wear a mask for any task, especially if you're indoors or there's not much space from my face to yours. If you care, then you wear a barrier of some kind between your face and mine. Over time, you will find it's just about as hard as remembering your credit card. Go on strike as you like, but out there on the picket line, keep some space between the signs. Go to the mall, have a ball, but if you're there to shop or loot the place, don't forget to cover your face. Sanitize, sanitize, watch out for spies, watch for spies, undercover cops, provocateurs, divide and conquer connoisseurs. Drive a tank, rob a bank, just make sure you dress appropriately as you walk off with the money. Go downtown, and burn down the police station, but be wise and wash the tear gas from your eyes. Yes, wear a mask. Thanks for listening, everybody out there on several continents. Wonderful to hang out with you here on the internet, though it's a, you know, kind of a monologue-ish way to hang out. And hope to see you again soon. I'll do this again at the end of next month on the last Saturday, and then I'll be doing interviews on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, and other things too. And if you're in the Portland area, I hope to see you at Laurelhurst Park for the Youth Liberation Front's nightly gathering, which is always in a different park in somewhere in the city, and then it turns into a march that goes somewhere. It's a well-established practice at this point, which is nice because then you know what to look for. All right, guys. Take care. See you again. Bye-bye for now. Don't pay the rent.